1340 96.5 KVGC, 7 minutes after the hour. And, of course, you've heard National Weather Service has issued a red flag warning through 11 a.m. tomorrow morning for not only the Motherlode, but for portions of the El Dorado and Stanislaus National Forest. PG&E, as of 5 o'clock last evening, began turning power off to about 24,000 customers in portions of Butte, Nevada, and Yuba counties. And they say that customers in those three counties, as well as El Dorado, Lake, Sutter, Napa, Placer, and Sonoma, should remain on standby for another possible weather event today and tomorrow. PG&E may turn power back on to those three affected counties today for a short time, but that could go back out later on in the early evening. We invited Rob Withrow of PG&E to be with us this morning to talk a little bit about this time of year. And Rob, thank you for giving us time out of your busy schedule today. But, you know, we get kind of lulled into a false sense of security. You know, it's yesterday was the first day of autumn. We've had relatively cool temperatures. We've had a little bit of rain, and everybody thinks fire season's over.
Yes. Far from it. One slight correction. I'm with Cal Fire, not PG&E. I just want to be clear.
Oh, did I?
Yep, no problem. I don't think PG&E would want me talking for them.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm at Cal Fire.
No worries. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And the truth of the matter is we're seeing, you know, some of the worst fire conditions right now, as typical this time of year.
How is that, Rob? Because here I'm sitting in, you know, the studio here outside. It looks, you know, doesn't feel like the middle of summer. Doesn't feel like it should be fire weather.
Yeah, and I agree. And sometimes we get lulled into that, like you said, because the temperature cools off. Sometimes we even start reaching the dew point again, and we think, hey, you know, obviously there's moisture in the air, the fire danger must be over, and that's just not the case. So besides everything being dry, Jim, the biggest threat in the fall is the change in the wind direction. You notice now, instead of getting a strong delta breeze, we're getting winds out of the north and the east, and those are warm, dry winds, and they cause the relative humidity, the air mass, to really dry out. And with respect to, if I could just ramble on for a second.
Go ahead, please.
So something that we've been really trying to get the word out is there's three environmental factors that impact wildland fires in terms of when they're going to start and how they're going to burn. And that's the fuel loading, that's the vegetation I'm talking about, the weather, and then the topography, the lay of the land, right? Steep slopes, canyons, etc. All three of those elements affect how a wildland fire is going to burn and how easily it's going to ignite. So right now, our fuel condition, obviously the topography doesn't change. That's fairly static. But the weather certainly changes. That's the most dynamic. And then the fuel doesn't change, but the conditions of it, the availability to burn, that changes. So throughout the summer, the last several months, the brush, the trees, the grass, etc., all they've been doing is drying out. That little bit of rain we got last week certainly helps, but it's not enough to get us out of danger, if you will.
So that makes total sense, Rob. So all summer long, nature is just preparing for September and October.
Yes, we've been like that's exactly right. And then, you know, it seems like, you know, Lord willing, when conditions are absolutely at their worst, we start approaching the end of October, early November, you know, with any luck at all, then we start getting the rains, and then we start lessening the threat. But right before that occurs, we are at the, you know, really prime burning conditions.
Rob, do you remember what the conditions were 4 years ago this month?
For the Butte Fire we're talking about?
Were they like we have now?
The winds were a little stronger. We had winds out of the north a little stronger. Now, we may see those conditions later this afternoon. Mm-hmm. But the humidity was in the tank. I want to say when that occurred, I think we were in the high teens. And anytime we get below about 30% relative humidity, fires they burn better, they're easier to start, and it's easier for them to create spot fires. And when you start when a fire starts spotting out ahead of itself, that makes it really, really hard for us to control.
Would you say that CAL FIRE pays more attention to the humidity and winds rather than the temperature?
Yes, the temperature is certainly relevant, no question about it, because you're preheating fuels, and generally the warmer the air, air temperature, the drier the air mass. But humidity and fuel moisture are the big ones, and then wind changes everything. You know, I had an old-timer when I started tell me that, hey, you know, if it's windy enough, we can get fires in February.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of truth in that. The wind is a huge factor.
You know, we're expecting next week, you know, next week's temperatures, we could see a drop as much as 30 degrees, actually, on Sunday into Monday, into the 60s from, you know, the 90s tomorrow. And today we're expecting into the low 90s, mid-90s maybe tomorrow.
Right.
You know, as we get deeper, I mean, we're at the end of September, but as we get into October, does CAL FIRE have an extended forecast, like a, you know, weather fire watch forecast?
Yeah, we were predicting to be a little, it was last, you know, the National Weather Service, we work with them, and the last outlook was it was going to be warmer and drier. That seems to have changed a little bit, but the weather is hard to predict, as you know, especially that far out. So I think at this point we're all just kind of waiting to see. We're staffed up, we're prepared, we staff up extra for these red flag events. In fact, I wanted to talk about that for just a second.
Go ahead. If I could. Go ahead. Yeah, please.
So something I think is important for the community to be aware of is we don't take red flag warnings. In order for that to be issued, an area, a geographic area, so we'll say Amador County, for example, has to meet certain criteria. The relative humidity has to be at a certain point. The wind speed has to be at a certain point. Our fuel moistures have to be at a certain point. So we don't throw around a red flag warning lightly. When we're under a red flag conditions like we are right now, we have extra apparatus staffed up. We've got crews held on duty. You know, we're really geared up, so to speak, and it's costing a lot of money to do that. So we don't take these lightly at all. And over the years, the Weather Service with CAL FIRE, we've kind of, you know, we've gotten much better at refining those conditions, if you will. So I just want to point that out. When you hear we're a red flag warning, that's a big deal. We should all be paying attention.
Rob, even though we're, you know, it seems to be worse to the north of us in El Dorado, and should we still worry here in Amador, Calaveras, and Tuolumne?
Yes, we should. And our challenge here in Amador specifically, Jim, is the east wind. The north wind is bad, and we were under a northwest flow when the Butte Fire broke, and that's always bad. Any wind out of the north for us is bad, but an even more dangerous situation is the east wind. It lines up with the McCollumy River drainage, the Sutter Creek drainage, believe it or not.
Wow.
You know, Ashland Creek, all those little drainages, they line up fairly well with an east-west flow like that. And those winds coming down the Sierras are dry, and they become, you know, they increase in velocity as they travel down the slope of the Sierras. And in those drainages, I think last year, last fall, unofficially, I think we clocked 70-mile-an-hour winds in the McCollumy River drainage. I had a homeowner call me and say, hey, the roof just blew off part of my house.
Wow,
that was
really?
Like 2 in the morning. So,
yeah,
the winds are a big deal. Yeah, we may not see them like we're going to do in the valley farther north and west of us. But, you know, anytime we get up around 15 miles an hour, 20 miles an hour, that's a big deal.
All right. Rob, thanks for taking the time to visit with us. And anytime you'd like to come back on and talk about this, this is a great public service that you're offering to us today. And again, please, anytime you'd like, give us a call. We'll get you back on the
air. I certainly will, Jim, and thank you.
All righty.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Rob. All right, Rob Withrow from CAL FIRE this morning. Erroneously identified him as being with PG&E, but he's with CAL FIRE, trust me. So great guy, too. Great guy. All right, elsewhere in the news this morning, funeral services for retired Amador County Sheriff Deputy Mark Lawrence will be held this Friday, 11 a.m., at the Church of the Nazarene on Ridge Road. Members of the public are welcome to attend. Lawrence was fatally injured in a vehicle collision on the morning of September 18th. prior to becoming a deputy sheriff with the Amador County Sheriff's Department in 1993. He served as a police officer for the city of Ione from 1986 to 1987 and as a police officer with the Sutter Creek Police Department from 1988 to 1993. He retired from the Amador County Sheriff's Department in 2010 and returned to assist as a court security deputy in 2014. All uniformed personnel who wish to attend Friday's services are asked to show up no later than 10:15. Again, those funeral services for Deputy Mark Lawrence, Friday, 11 a.m. at the Church of the Nazarene on Ridge Road.
And the Jackson City Council oversaw the swearing-in of two new police officers and appointed a new member to the City Planning Commission at last night's meeting. Now, the new additions to the Jackson Police Department sworn in last night were Police Officer Shane Morrison and Reserve Officer Kristen Garcia. The Planning Commission voted to appoint Thornton Consolo to fill a vacant position on the City Planning Commission. The council also heard a presentation from County Assessor Jim Rooney, who described the value of properties in Amador County to be rising steadily. Because property taxes play such a large role in local government, Rooney makes an annual report to each of the various local jurisdictions to help them in their budget planning.
And a blood drive sponsored by Motherlode Council of Knights of the Columbus will be held today from 1:30 to 6:30, Valley Springs Sports and Fitness Center. Whole blood donors must be at least 16 years of age, weigh a minimum of 110 pounds, be in general good health, and be sure to bring your photo ID with you. There will be special incentives for you as well. For details, vitalant.org.
And Lockwood Fire Protection District, once again, proud to be part of the annual Bells Across America portion of the 38th Annual National Firefighter Memorial Weekend event, which honors firefighters who died in the line of duty in the previous year. Lockwood Fire is one of only four fire departments in the western U.S. that participates in this national event, the only department in California. To learn more about the National Fallen Firefighter Foundation Memorial, visit bellsacrossamerica.org. For more about Lockwood Fire, lockwoodfire.org. Now, Bells Across America will be held Sunday, October 6th at Lockwood Station 151 on Shake Ridge Road Volcano. The ringing of the bell ceremony begins at 9 a.m., followed by the Cal Fire Honor Guard bagpipes. Refreshments will be served following the ceremony. For more info, call 296-6868.
And mark your calendar for Vogan Toll's first annual Jammin' for Famine this Saturday. This event, previously known as Can You Dig It, which was put on each year by Electra Road. Anyway, entry will be a $10 donation per person. Kids under 13 for free. It's all taking place at Howard Park. There'll be a raffle, hot dogs, waters for sale. All donations and proceeds will benefit the Amador County Interfaith Food Bank. The headliners include Red Voodoo and Vogan Toll, special guests Bottle Jack, Scott Berrien's F-150 band, and Lizzie Jurgens. Gavin Myers will be the MC. Gates open up at 3, picnic-style, family-friendly event. Come on out, that's Howard Park, for an evening of fun while supporting the Interfaith Food Bank. And that's a look at local news on this Gold Country Tuesday morning. Want to thank Rob Withrow for coming by and being with us today. From the KVGC News Center,
I'm JD.
And I'm Jim Geedy reporting. Remember, for the latest news, traffic, and weather 24 hours a day, to visit our website at kvgcradio.com.